Morning, church. How are you? It's good. How are you today?
Good.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Are you ready to receive the word of God? Are you ready to receive the word of life? Are you ready to receive the word that transforms you? Yeah. Every time when what I have experienced is that every time when God speaks to us, really speaks, you know, that specific word, we got to change, right? Sometimes there are some things in our life that God just have to readjust or remind us. Sometimes we've made what you call like promises or commitments to God, and then slowly we forgot what we made, right? And then we slack back. So as I was preparing this message, what I've been walking through we've got at the moment is that, you know, all the basic things, God is just reminding me as we're talking about, you know, sons of God. And if you remember my previous sharing, it's focusing on knowing God, spending time with Him, knowing Him more and more, so that when we know who our Father is, then we know who we are as sons, or our position as sons. All right. So I just want to declare today that, you know, all of us have heard prophetic words, or sometimes when you sit in services or in life group, you know, you listen to different preachers or when pastors release words, you know, you feel very excited, very warm. Don't forget those moments. Don't forget those words that you've received. Amen? So, because all of those all build up to a perfect destiny for you. Everything is that all built up for something great. Amen? Amen? Yeah. All right. So today, I want to share something about, just to move a bit from what I've been sharing about knowing God. Daniel, can I have the next slide? So just to recap, about knowing the Father, because if not, when I first got the, what you call, revelation about being sons of God, you know how I said, it's about changing the mindset that you are not just a believer. Because when we believe in Jesus, we become the believers of Christ. Then we become disciples of Christ when we learn about His teaching. And then we go higher and higher. But it's most importantly to know that when we have Jesus in us, we have that Son, the Son, that makes us the true sons of God. And when we know that, then it changed our mindset firstly, that when we come, we are not just believers or members or workers, all right? We are sons of God. Everyone say with me, I am a son of God. All right? But as sons, we need to know the Father. Yeah? We need to know the Father. And once we know the Father, then we have to make Him known. Just as Jesus said, you know, in John 17, right? I have made known to them. So, and here in Acts 13:22, when it says, when he had removed him, this is King Saul, and raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So as we were going through the lessons in life group, you know, using David as an example, truly we need to be like David to go after God's heart. If not, to me, what God is saying, yes, you have this thing about being sons, you know, then you do whatever that is required and see, but then slowly it can become it's just my work. It's just what I see, everything like, and then I do. But then I may not have revelation from God, or may not hear from God what is God is saying to do, what is it to do now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because once we get that revelation of being sons of God, God is telling me, you need to now know me. Because if not, I will try and do everything by my own strength. I'll try to do everything by what just I see by the natural eyes. Yeah. So then God is just speaking to me and challenging me to spend more time with Him, spend more time praying the Holy Spirit, because as I continue to spend more time in the Word and in the Spirit, then slowly I understand the heart of God. Why does He do certain things in certain seasons? Why does He sometimes, the seasons may may be challenging, but in the end, it all comes to good. Amen? All right. So, next slides. You know, and we were talking about, once we know more and more about who our Father in heaven is, we begin to know more about ourselves as sons, and we have that assurance, you know, if our Father, when we receive, sorry, as sons, we receive salvation, you know, knowing God as someone who is really wants us to be saved so that we can come and have a relationship with Him. As a Father, He cares for us. You know, Pastor just declared, you know, God is on the throne and He cares for His own. And this Father wants us to have protection, provision, and progress in life. So He cares about where we are right now. He cares about how we are going to end up. So we have to understand this. And last one is that if our Father is the King of Kings, you know, the greatest King on earth, what does that make us? Prince, right? Sons of the King Most High. So we need to rise to this position where I talk about, you know, we are being prepared and groomed to be kings, not beggars, not just workers, not just volunteers. We are all prepared to be kings and priests to rule and reign with Him. Amen? All right? So just keeping this in mind about knowing the Father. Next. All right? We'll talk about then. You know, then I ask God, it's like, I want to know. And as I've been going through scripture memorizing in John chapter 5 with pastors, you know, I'm beginning to see something new. Even though I've read it before, but I begin to see something new. As Adrian also said about, you know, reading scripture, it's like a journey. But then that journey, you know, when we take the Bible and take it as a road, right? Say the analogy here, the Bible is the road. We can go on that road, on that same road, the same time, another time, again and again, but somehow, as we go into that verse, or that road again, somehow we see something else. Have you realized this when you are driving as well? You know, like last time I used to take the bus, and you know, we know the route so well, you can sort of sleep, and then somehow, as it turns, oh, I know I'm almost at my house, right? But when you know, and then when you are in the bus, you see different things on this road. But when you drive, you can drive on the same road, but you see different things. Yeah? So this is what I'm currently experiencing as, you know, I think we all have experienced this one way or another. When we read scripture, don't go in with I know this verse already. Right? Just read it and go, God, what are you speaking to me now through this word? Yeah? And so when I'm beginning to, before I go into that, into John. So as I'm asking God, how do I know you more, right? How do I know you more? Then He said, I've given you an example. You know, the Son of God who came on earth to walk on earth for 3 years, right? He lived like how I should live, okay? It's like, we're talking, the title is Imitating the Firstborn Son, all right? So firstly, let's talk about what the meaning of firstborn is, all right? It's used in many parts in the scripture, but the first one I want to show you is in Colossians 1:18. All right, let me read that to you. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He may be preeminent in all things. Now, the word firstborn, when we think naturally, we think firstborn means by time, the one that came first, okay? Or the one that did that thing first. So in this case, yes, Jesus is the firstborn who died, right? Was buried 3 days, 3 nights, and then He rose again from the dead and is now, He ascended into heaven and is glorified, and now He's still alive. He is the only one that's done that. Amen? Yeah? So He is still alive in heaven. So, that's number one. Number two is that firstborn also mean that He is preeminent. Here means preeminent, to put simply in the word, is the best of the best. Okay, it's the highest of the highest. There's no more. Because when we look at Psalms 89, this is another place where He used the word firstborn. But this is referring to David, King David. All right, remember, King David, was he the firstborn son? Naturally. No, he was the youngest son, in fact, right? And this is what in Psalms 89 it says, "He shall cry to me, my father, you are my God and the rock of my salvation, and I will make him," so God will make David, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Now here, why was David referred to as firstborn? All right, but here in the context is that God is making him the best. All right, he's raising him up. All right, so if we go next to the next slide about imitating Christ, here we see Paul say that, you know, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So we talk about imitating Christ. We're talking about in Romans 8:28, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So here, again, it's telling us that we should have the image of Christ, all right, to imitate him. And then we read here in Galatians 4:19, that my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So here there are a lot of commands for us to be like Christ. And then the last one here in 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now when I first read about the stories of Jesus on earth, when there was people following him, you know, there is this challenge, right? If we think, just imagine for a moment, all right, when Jesus is walking at that time, who were following him, all right? There were the Pharisees, right? There were what you call people who are excited to hear the word of God. Maybe there are other people who are just curious and started following the crowd, right? And we see here, when they are following Christ, there's basically three responses. Number one is the Pharisees, when they followed him and they hear what he spoke, they got offended, right? They want to kill him. In John chapter 5, we were talking about, you know, when Jesus said that, I see what my father do and I do. And they got very angry because Jesus said, you're putting yourself equal with God. And the Pharisees were very upset, right? That's the response, for the first response. Second one is, there may be people in the crowd, even though there's so many people, but after they hear and follow, nothing changed. It seems that there's a lot of people follow, but they all went back or nothing changed in their life. And then there's the third one, who followed here, and then they begin to receive the word and really, really follow Christ. So we can declare, like, for our own life, I want to follow you, I want to follow you, right? We can go to where Christ is, but will we listen to his word and follow his instructions? Follow what the word and the spirit is telling us. And beginning to not only do what Jesus do, but also then begin to speak as what he's put into us, and speak then what he speaks. Can you see what I'm trying to say here? We all our life, we can be just followers and just listening. But we have to go to the next level. God is just telling me, we got to challenge ourselves to go to the next level. When we say we want to follow Christ, we want to be like Christ, what does that truly mean? Okay? Let God speak to us today that when we talk about following Christ, we are not just walking behind him, just follow. But we are walking with him, meaning as he speaks to us, we receive that word. Then don't only just receive, but then we have to act out that word. We have to, sometimes the acting may be actions, right? And sometimes that acting out may be releasing back the word to somebody else. Amen? So when I begin to memorize John chapter 5, you know, as it says, can you go to the seven slide? This is what it says in John chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So this is when Jesus said this, then the Pharisees got angry because, you know, Jesus is putting himself equal with God. But when I read this, as I asked God, what are you teaching me here? You know, when I first believed in Christ, you know, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know there is God the Father. I know there is Holy Spirit. Then when we read about Jesus being the Son of God walking on earth and how he talked to God, how he interacted with God, and how powerful he worked, you know, I've got this thing, it's like, that's what Jesus does, right? But more and more, as I begin to realize about being true sons of God or true sons of the house, Jesus set that pattern not to be exclusively for him. What he is doing that all is to set a pattern for us to follow. So to encourage all of us, we can do what Jesus did. In fact, what did Jesus promise? Greater works than this you can do. All right? So that relationship that he and the Father is not just saying like, as though I'm looking at like a family, right? Like as a father and son, oh, those two, that relationship special. It's just they have it. I don't have that. It's not like that. As when we became believers of Christ, when we confess our sins and believe that Jesus cleansed all our sins and believe that and ask him to come into our heart, what happens is we like join in that family now. We now have that quote-unquote right to call Father God our Father, right? And then Jesus becomes that like that big brother that we now follow. How did he do it? And the key there is Jesus, before he did all the powerful ministry, miracles, healing, he had the Holy Spirit with him when he was baptized. So if Jesus had that, what more we? Yeah? Right? We cannot live without the Holy Spirit. Just to put it simply, we cannot live without the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, to show that pattern, he lived with the Holy Spirit. He worked with the Holy Spirit together. As we say, because Jesus is the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit goes together. Yeah? So this is what God is challenging me at the moment. Go back to the last slide, Daniel. You know, when we talk about walking as you walk, all right, so let's read together 1 John chapter 2, 3 to 6. All right, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as we walk. Okay? So when we talk about following Christ, walking as he walked, it's meaning to do what he did, okay, and to follow. All right? Not just following behind and doing nothing, but to actually do what he did. Okay? All right, and another text that I won't read the full thing is from Ephesians 5. So you go home and read the whole thing, but it's the basis of the sharing today, okay? But the first thing is, next slide. The first thing is that in order to walk as Jesus walked, we first need to know that we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, then these 3 points that I'm going to share later, we can't achieve it. Okay, the 3 points, if you all say with me, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Okay, that's the 3 points that I got from Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, so not yet, Daniel, just go back. Okay, then we see here in Luke chapter 3, this is where when the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus. Okay, then he started his ministry. All right, and also in Romans 8:14. We know that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So my question to God about how to be, quote unquote, better sons of God, or, you know, how do I improve, right? Because we cannot just stay where we are at. You know, it's just simple. It's we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So what we are entering in at the moment now, as you all been hearing, you know, we need to learn to pray in the Holy Spirit, and not just pray, just making noise, but truly enter in into that, right? To be connected, to be focused, right? The last sharing I talked about the worshiping around the throne. The throne of God is in the middle because that should be our attention, okay, and not everything else. All right. So as we beginning to, as I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, beginning to realize there is certain building of stature. There is a build up. Sometimes we don't see it and we give up, or sometimes it's like too repetitive and we feel like, oh, it's not doing anything. But as I see how, as you enter in more and more, there is something. There is something. I don't know how to explain it in detail, the something, but there is something. Amen? I'm sure all of us has experienced this when we do it. Right? When we do it, when we pray in the Spirit, we do have some, maybe in the manifestation, we feel refreshed. Maybe that's one of it. Just one of it. But definitely there is something when we do it. Amen? All right? So as Pastor is reminding us again and again about the importance about, you know, praying the Spirit, don't take that lightly. All right? For me, I begin to say, oh, I've been not consistent or not praying enough. You know, I gotta start doing it again. Yeah. So don't dwell in the past. Don't say, I don't do it, not me, or I can't do this. But start from today, right? Start afresh. Say, God, I really want to enter in this, you know, praying in the Spirit, and then do. Then do. Start. Everyone say with me, just do.
Just do.
Okay. All right. Next one. Okay. Now, we establish ourselves. Whenever we talk about this, right, walking in love and all that, we need to have Holy Spirit always with us. Okay. We can't do it on our own. All right. So when we talk about walking in love, all right, it's not just, you all know, right? It's not about the emotional love, all right? You know, like Dr. Jonathan said, you know, today you preach love. Next week, more love. Then the next week, much love. And then you say, oh, wait, must put God in there. God is love, okay? What I just want to talk today is that when we talk about walking in love, firstly, the love is directed, firstly, is to God, and then is to one another, right? And what I begin to realize is when we talk about love, there got to be action. Okay? Jesus said, in the Bible says the same thing. If you say that you love me, then you obey my commandments. There's something that comes after that. The action must be there. Not just saying, not just feel, all right? But actually, there is something about walking in love. Maybe why the Bible put it this way, walk in love, is walk must be walk. Do you know what I mean? In English, you call what? Adjective, is it? Or verb. Yeah. All right? It's an action word. Thank you. Okay? Walk in love, which means there must be action. It's like and the example here that Christ, when he said he loved us, he didn't just say it only. He actually demonstrated it. All right? Because he gave himself for us, all right? And also here it says, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So as he did that out of love for the Father as well. Right? It's what's saying here. When he did that, it's like very pleasant to God. But in that action, it's also a demonstration of love to us. So then in Philippians 2:5, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we see that this is what Jesus did. It's the action of saying, he loved us. So what more we, right? And for me then, when God's talk about walking in love, I cannot just say that I love this house. I cannot just say, I love my brothers and sisters. I cannot just say it. There must be action with it. Amen? So when we talk about walking in love, think carefully what does it really mean. And the thing is, when I say it like that, right, just quote-unquote excluding the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very hard. We're going to get offended very easily. It's like, oh, yeah, I love. Okay, I do. Right? And then you start doing, somebody didn't say thank you, you already get offended. Right? Very easily. Right? But if the Holy Spirit is leading us, guiding us, then we talk about, wow, the love of God is so great. And from that love, then you come out. Then the love now you have for each other is different. Do you agree? Yeah? So we don't want to, like, sort of, you say, jump too fast and say, oh, love, yes, okay, let me do this, and then you tire yourself out. Because sometimes we don't even know whether we are doing it, you know, that is what you call love, or what you are doing, whether it's required. Because when I don't know if you remember, when I finished the last message about worshiping God, right? And as I was just praying, the closing in prayer and declaring, suddenly this I declared this, Lord, let us not have the spirit of Martha, but have the spirit of Mary. And I don't know, I didn't know why, but I just kept it, and then I just went home, and I thought about it. It's like, oh, I remember praying that. And it's like saying, you know the story, right? Jesus came to the house, and then Martha was so busy in the kitchen trying to prepare, say, sandwiches for him, maybe. But Mary was spending time with Jesus. And then Martha got upset, right? Why, Mary, don't help me? Right? And suddenly, I'm also beginning to think, I could be Martha, you know. I can be someone that, when someone comes, I'll be busy trying to do things for them. And then miss spending time with the person, right? Then, I don't know if this is from God, but you know, God is beginning to speak. It's like, sometimes you may be doing what I didn't ask you to do. Maybe Jesus wasn't hungry. Maybe. Maybe Jesus didn't even ask for tea and coffee and sandwich. Maybe. It doesn't say in the Bible. All right, don't say this is. But it's just a thought that maybe that's why, you know, Jesus said, you know, when I come to visit you this time, the purpose was to spend time with you, like Mary and Martha. And then Martha just go off and try to prepare everything that maybe Jesus didn't even ask. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? Because as I look back, sometimes when we, like, this is happened in our house as well. We invite visitors, right? We say, yeah, come have dinner and all that. But, you know, as they come, we spend time serving, right? Put the rice, put the dishes and all that. And I say, you all eat. It's okay, you all start eating first. And then, as we prepare, then the first person finish. I wash. You didn't even sit down with them to eat with them, right? You wash. Then afterward, wait, I got dessert. You all sit down. And then the dessert come up. Can you see? Sometimes I think, then it's just when I'm beginning to ask God about why did I suddenly declare the Spirit, don't let us not be like Martha, but be like Mary. It's like Jesus says, maybe Jesus is showing me these images. It's like, this is what can happen. You know, we say, come to my house, you know, and have dinner and all that. But we were so busy. And then by the time, it's late already. Okay, time to go home. Then the amount of time, maybe they came to your house, say 3 hours. But the amount of time that you spend could be only half hour. Yeah? And it's like saying, then I said, God, If I'm truly been doing that, then forgive me, because sometimes we beginning to do so many things and then we tire ourselves and then we lack spending time with God. Yeah, so I don't know how I go off to here, but you can see what I'm trying to say here. When we talk about walking in love, we don't want to go extremes, right? Yes, love must require action, but the action cannot be so much that we then forget to build the love with who we are trying to say we are in love with. Yeah? We are singing, you know, falling in love again over and over, but then we better we better do it in the right way, okay? Yeah? Amen? All right? So I'm just sharing what's in my heart. Okay? All right, let's go to the next. Everyone say with me, walk in love. Okay, next one. Okay, so here, we also talk about love for one another. You know, it's interesting. This is from the youth conference that we went to. Using the example of the story of Joseph. Now, we are very familiar, right? Joseph, when he was a boy, he got thrown into the pit. And then from the pit, he go into the prison. And then from the prison, he goes to the palace. All right, we know that. And then all is good, right? Joseph was, you know, humble. And then he kept with God. And God turned everything into good. Yes, that story is all great, right? But with the youth conference, it's very exciting, you know, because maybe the balance was given like that. You know, it's exciting to receive word. We're going to be great. We're going to be like, you know, God's going to raise us up, you know, conquer cities and all this. But then, see, like when Joseph first received the vision, his vision was great, right? You imagine, wow, long story short, everybody will bow to him. That is his vision, right? But when we look at the life of Joseph before all that happens, you know, there was a question about, did he honor the relationship in the house? Which means, you know, yes, he shared the vision, but when we see his life, what we can see, remember that the brothers were all working in the field, number one, right? And then Joseph come in with his colorful robe and say something. The question was this, was given to, why wasn't Joseph in the field with his brothers? I was like, oh, never saw it like that before. We always see Joseph as quote-unquote perfect, right? He's a very humble boy. His father loves him so much. But with that privilege that he got, why wasn't he working together with his brothers? Wow, that struck me as well when I read that. Because also for his father and mother as well. You know, he just said a vision like that, right? But that whether he honor the relationship of his father in the house. So it's just a cautioning for all of us, you know, especially the youth, right? That when we all have the youth conference, you know, all these words that he gives, you know, it's exciting, right? We get so fired up. But then in the end, he also says things like, don't forget who sent you to this conference. Yeah? Don't forget when you go back, it's not, yeah, I'm going to do this, do that, but you are going to go back to help the father, of the house, to build the house. So it's like, wow, this is really like in context. You cannot go in error. Yeah, he shares on one part so that, you know, those that come a bit like depressed or a bit like, I can't do this, can't do that, you know, will get fired up. But then to also put like almost like a protection, a boundary that don't forget, you know, you want to do all these exciting things, but remember who sent you there. Yeah, so this is I just put it there for under walking in love, okay? Because when we start serving, start doing things, because God has given us a great vision and we see it being lived out now for evangelists specifically, right? We're going to do the SJ Shire Community Fair, right? And all that, you know, we're gonna get quote-unquote exposed, high visibility, maximum impact. But we got to always remember, we are not doing it as an individual. It's a teamwork, all together, right? Working out the word of God that has given to evangel. Okay? It's not individual. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Next one. Walk in light. Everyone say with me, walk in light. Okay, Ephesians 5, 3 to 8, 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And also in John, 1 John 2, 9, we know that he who says in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So I won't read to the end. It basically means that when we talk about living in the light, it means that we have to have true, pure motives. Right, we can't say we are living in the light and doing something else. So this one is that simple core interpretation that I first got when I read about walking in light. It's got to do with holiness, you know. When God, you have to live your life in such a way like God put a torchlight on you all the time, right? This is correct, right? But then as I read in John again, you know, we say that who is the light? Who is the true light? You know, John came for a witness to bear witness of the light. So, walking in the light also means to walk in Jesus, okay? Right? Okay, these are all still fancy words, right? Walking in Jesus, what does that mean? What does that mean we are walking in the light of Christ? Okay? Here, then, if we consider Jesus as the light of the world and we walk in this light by following his commandments, following his words, and growing in his grace as Jesus also grew in stature, and then living in his power, which means living how Jesus did, you know, in miracles and signs and wonders, slowly, because of that light being in us, then we become the we are the light for men to see as well. So number one is light, yes, the live holy part, you know, not with hidden motives and all that. But the second thing, we got to realize we become the light. When we carry Jesus, we carry the light, yes? The function of light is for what? It's for people to see as well. It's like a direction for people. So when we talk about living in light, then we got to think outwards as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Light has two functions. The lights in the room is to show us what we are seeing, right? But what about light that is, like, for example, the lighthouse? What is the function of that light? It's not just to shine on the sea to see the fishes. It's a direction. So when I begin to read this, I begin to understand the degree of what is it meaning by walking in light. It's when we walk in light and we obeying what God is telling us to do, if we don't do it, then the lighthouse is not there. People around us cannot see Jesus. Can you see the degree of the seriousness of this when we walk in light? Okay, we have to walk in Christ. We have to have the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in light. Amen? Yep. All right, next one. Okay, the last one, everyone say with me, walk in wisdom. Okay, the last one. So read with me Ephesians 5:15. 1, 2, 3. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So here, the opposite of wisdom is given in a few things. Okay? So we know, we sort of know what being wise is, but do we? Number one, if we are not wise, we are people who waste time. So a person who is wise will not waste time. Okay. Second, a person who is not wise don't know the will of God. Okay, because he said, if you are wise, then you will understand the will of God. Okay. And then in verse 18, it gives us the answer. All right. How to be wise is we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the first part of verse 18 is about, you know, do not be filled with wine, but be filled instead with the Holy Spirit. So, again, this is like I just repeating again. It's like a challenge now about being filled more in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm exposing myself. Yeah, like you said, I what do you call it? Like confess, right? Saying I haven't been doing it enough. Right, and some of us maybe feel also this way, but the word here today is don't be discouraged about the past. Just move on and pursue being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then only can we walk in love. Everyone say with me: walk in love,
walk in love.
Walk in light,
walk in light.
And walk in wisdom. Okay. Sometimes, maybe when we talk about walking in the Spirit, because of the English, right? When I first just read the Bible, walking in the Spirit, it's like talking about walking in like a room, you know? Like walking in flesh means you come here, you just do whatever, have fun, don't even think about what God says. Walking in the Spirit, Spirit, okay? It has to be more than that. It has to be more than that. Then, God gave me this. How about you change this? Walk with the Spirit. And I was like, oh, can you see the difference? Because we talk about treat the Holy Spirit as a person, right? So if as a person, then you say, well, I'm walking with Him. He's with me every day. He's with me all the time. If not, the word Spirit, we make it like people say the spooky, woo Spirit, right? But if we change it to Jesus walk with the Holy Spirit every day. Oh, it's like, then you begin to imagine that when Jesus goes to, you know, how He always hides Himself and pray, He's not alone. He's praying with the Holy Spirit with Him. So when we go into our closet, when we pray, we are not alone either. You know, Pastor Joseph just declared, you know, we are not orphans. The Holy Spirit is with us. Only when we treat Him as a person, then we feel, no, I'm not alone. Holy Spirit is with me all the time. Everyone say with me, walk with the Spirit.
Walk with the Spirit.
Yeah? So can you see now when you say that? Oh, it's an extra. The English word gives an extra meaning to it. Yeah? All right. Okay. I think next one, Daniel. All right. So in conclusion then, you know, when we talk about Jesus imitating the firstborn of the Son, imitating Jesus, right? Jesus firstly walked in or with the Spirit, so we better do it, right? Then out of that, He walked in love. He walked, and the love here is demonstrated by sacrificing Himself and also Him obeying all the things that the Father tells Him to do, right? And then He became that true light, giving light to the world, and He increased in wisdom and stature. So this is kind of, I know when we talk about Jesus, there's so many things we can learn, right? This is not just three things to follow and then full stop, all right? This is just something for us that I'm sharing today, just taking the 3 points, right? But the main thing again here is walking in Spirit, and then these three things can be worked out in our lives. Amen? All right? And we know that, you know, Jesus, the firstborn Son, set a pattern for all of us to follow. Yeah, so we can do that. And the last one is that, you know, Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the High Priest, also is making us kings and priests. Oh, it's like further declaration of Him saying, I've done all this, I want you now to stand same, right? Stand with me. Right? Because we say rule and reign with Him. Right? So it's like, you know, what Jesus has done, we are to do as well, or even greater works. Amen? All right? So I just want to conclude with a declaration. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, truly, Lord, we come to You today. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have shown us an example of how to live as a son of God. And Lord, that may we be filled with the Holy Spirit today, day more and more, Lord, that we will walk in love, we will walk in light, and we will walk in wisdom. But not the worldly wisdom or the worldly kind of love, Lord, that we will have that supernatural spiritual infilling of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. That we will have that hunger and thirst and beginning to pray more and to be spending more time with You, Lord. That out of this, then we can walk in love and walk in light and walk in wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord. I just declare this for all each and every one of us here today as we commit ourselves to You and present ourselves to You as a living sacrifice, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.